Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now. Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It?
So our guests today are Clarence and Yolanda, and they actually emailed us to be guests on our podcast. They said that they've heard about us and they liked what we were doing, and they wanted a chance to share their story. So they signed up, and you know, life got busy and I didn't get back to them, but I'm glad they are still willing to be on the show. So thank you guys so much.
You're very welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think what you're doing is quite a worthy quest, so to use the right word for it.
All righty. Well, to kick things off, could you just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Well, Clarence and Yolanda Lewis, we've been married for just under 27 years. It's got 27 years. This summer will be how long will be our time. We live in the Washington metropolitan area, DMV.
Nice, so,
nice. All right.
Some nodding.
I see some nodding. You know, we live in the DMV. You know, we have a couple of children. And, you know, we just do all kinds of other stuff.
Too specific now. Yeah.
How specific do you want?
As specific as you feel you like want. Feeling.
So I guess I'm a software engineer by trade. That's what I do. That's my occupation.
Super cool. And I'm a public health researcher. Some just other small tidbits of our life is that we have an adult daughter who has autism or is autistic and has an intellectual disability.
We have a college-age son.
He just finished up his freshman year.
We had to drive and pick him up.
Congratulations. So that's exciting.
My mom lives with us.
Yeah, his mom lives with us, and I'm still smiling and happy. So, yes, we have a really good mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship. In fact, we kind of kick off the in-law part, just mother and daughter. She's a really sweet lady. Yes.
DJ on the weekends.
Yeah, he's a DJ. That's how
everything that we know about. We'll get through this as we go through this show. Mm-hmm. The reason we are all here is really because I started DJing. That's the foundation. One day I woke up and said, we did a vow renewal at 15 years. We did a vow renewal. Mm-hmm. And the DJ, I called a guy who I knew from college and said, hey, I have a band. So can you just make me a premix, just a premix that I can play in between the pieces of the band? Mm-hmm. And he said, no problem. And he just took his time and it never really materialized. So I just did it myself. I said, I have this music. I'll just do it myself. And that was the beginning of my DJ career. That was the beginning.
Right. So it's never too late.
Never too late.
To start something that you love. And I remember when he brought home, or when it was delivered, I guess, the turntables, controller. I kept trying to think of that word the other day. Anyway, the controller, and he's in the living room DJing. And so began our journey. Now we are streaming together. I'm not DJing, but stream together.
She's the voice.
Right, exactly. She's
the voice. So, yeah, that's how we kind of all got here, because we stream on Sunday nights. a slow jam show where we kind of talk about relationships and we kind of talk about what's happening, you know, in the world. You know, I was riding with Kevin Samuels for a while and she wasn't riding with Kevin Samuels and, you know, just pop culture kind of things. So those things mm-hmm. evolved and eventually we wrote a book. And once we wrote that book, then we started reaching out and seeing other people doing similar things like you guys, where you guys are really investigating relationships and how these things work out. And we thought, wow, what a great way to meet more people doing similar things in that same vein. So that's why I say it started with one thing and where we got has nothing to do with where we started.
And that is okay. You guys are still along for this journey.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to rewind and start at the beginning. Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
So we met in college. It's funny because our lives have we've kind of been in each other's orbits. Even before we got to college, you know, he and my sister went to the same elementary school. We've lived in the same, he and I went to the same middle school, but neither of these things happened at the same time.
Oh, okay.
but you know, we lived in the same neighborhood. And then we were in college for 2 years.
2 years
before we met. We didn't go to a big school at all. And it was a PWI. So I don't know how we didn't meet, but we didn't.
We were in the student government. Yeah, that's true. We were in the student government office. And I said, you know, there's a bunch of people in there. We were kind of just talking. And I said, hey, guys, I got a role. I got to go to a class. And she said, me too. And I was like, oh, cool. What class are you going to?
And like, the same class you're going to.
So we were in the class for half a year. And I didn't even know that she was in the class.
She wasn't coming to class. Well,
that's part of the reason why she didn't know, because I wasn't really coming to class. But and
when he came to class, he made his presence known. So the professor loved him. And I would be sitting behind him like, oh, really? Never here, lady. What are you talking about?
And the irony of the class is the class was called Marriage and the Family.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We had no thoughts of marriage or family at that point.
But that was the name of the class.
Yeah. So that's how we met. We had a class together and, you know, we studied for the final together. And then he asked.
We came over for dinner.
Yeah.
It didn't turn out to be a good dinner, but we'll talk about that another time. It turned out to be sodas and ho-hos, but it's all I could get at that time.
2 a.m. in the morning.
But it's a huge story behind that. But
I really, just to continue the story, I really just like, even though he didn't fulfill his first promise of bringing food for dinner, you know, we just enjoyed each other's company. We had a good time kicking, you know, in each other's presence, kicking it, you know, chilling, laughing, and it just evolved from there.
So how long did it take? Because you guys became friends.
Yes.
How long did it take before one of you realized, something's there?
That's actually, it's tough to put your finger on that because we
became friends with benefits first.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then
she graduated. And that was really the turning point. She graduated and went away to graduate school.
You think was a turning point?
For me, it was the turning point. How about that?
Well, for you to want to propose to me, but just becoming in a relationship, I think it was after you graduated first.
And I got a job and was making some money. That's what happened. See, that's what
his stock went up. I invested.
Okay, that's fair.
And then, you know, so we were together, but then it was time for me to go away to school. I was going to
graduate school
in North Carolina, and we were living here in Maryland. And we kind of said, oh, we'll have this don't ask, don't tell type of relationship. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. We won't hold each other to anything.
In my mind, at least, I thought the distance would break us up.
Yeah, I thought so, too. I mean, we were kind of at each other's throats a little bit, cats and dogs nipping at each other over little things anyway. And maybe that was just the stress of kind of being like, oh, we're about to not be together. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think both of us went into that part of the relationship thinking, oh, well, it's probably going to be over. Yeah.
And it turned out to be the opposite.
Absence made his heart grow fonder.
Sure. Sure. We'll go with
it. Because you were the one who took it to the next level. Right. You were the one who invested more at this point.
You're right. She is correct.
Yes. He started talking about forever. And I was like, whoa, okay. This is what we're talking about. So I left and moved to North Carolina in August of 1995. And you can feel free to bleep that year out, you know, as you play the recording because I was only six. So I moved then that was in August, and you know, the serious talk like started pretty quickly, maybe after Christmas. Mm-hmm. And in February, he made a whole plan for us to go to the Poconos for Valentine's Day, where he was going to surprise propose to me.
Didn't work out that way.
We didn't make it to the Poconos for the actual special proposal because he had the ring with him when he picked me up from the airport.
My dad asked me to bring the ring by the house so that he and my mom could see it. So I went by their house on the way to the airport to pick her up. So I had it with me. And I couldn't hold that thing. It was like a 15-year-old with $5 in his pocket. You got to spend that. I couldn't hold it. So
could not hold it. So we're at National Airport in the terminal, just outside the terminal or baggage claim or whatever. And he goes down on one knee and I am completely shocked, like not just surprised. Shocked. Like I knew that this is the direction that our relationship was going in, but I, you know, it just didn't occur to me all the math that he had been doing on his own and with his trusted confidants and family and friends. So I'm thinking, yes, it'll eventually happen. But at that moment, I'm just standing there flabbergasted with my mouth wide open, eyes wide open. And there's a woman who's, you know, standing close enough to be in earshot. And she's like, well, are you going to answer him or not?
How much mind your business.
Right? I'm like, yeah, I can't leave him hanging because I actually, you know, at this point, I'm looking at him and I can see his hand shaking and the look of like, please answer on his face. So I say, obviously I said yes. And, you know, he was willing to up in his life. He had bought a house here in Maryland. He, you know, put it up for rent. And started looking for jobs in North Carolina and moved to North Carolina to be with me. And I guess that's all she wrote. I mean, that was the beginning.
That's the beginning
of everything.
So how long were you guys together before you met, introduced each other to your family?
Oh, wow. Maybe a couple years.
Introduce a family? No, it wasn't that long. You know, when you're in college and you got to go home every break and you got to do different things. And if I want to see her, I got to come by the house and I got to pick her up. So
right.
Introduce me to her parents. I mean,
it wasn't like I'm introducing you to my parents to show some significant place you have in my life. I'm introduced to you, our parents, because
the guy I'm dating.
Our parents are still very much a part of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm living with mine, and
I'm living with mine.
So, you know, it's at that young age, it didn't have the same. It did, you know, it did mark a seriousness, but it wasn't like we had a discussion. Okay, you're gonna come to my house, and
we had dinner.
Meet my parents.
Yeah, I mean, we had dinner at her parents' house, and I think she came to a cookout at my parents' house during the summer. You know, but just real casual, nothing demonstrative or, you know, overblown about like, it. Just
this is my boyfriend. My girlfriend. It wasn't a naming. Mm. You know, we're about to be exclusive. It was just like, this is someone that I really like. And so you guys are still such key roles in our life. Here's this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after you ended up moving to North Carolina, you guys are engaged at this point.
We're married at this point. We're married. Okay.
We got married over that. So that's a story in and of itself. We got engaged and we started trying to plan a wedding. Now I'm in school full time in North Carolina. I don't have time to work. So, you know, I have no money. I don't come from money. So my parents hadn't like saved up for their daughter's wedding or anything. So he was pretty much the main source of footing the bill, and his parents were going to help too. And our families have very different ideas of what a wedding and reception should have. Like my parents are Pentecostal. So there was no, there was going to be no secular music, no alcohol. As far, you know, for them to have a good time and enjoy it. He's like, oh, my family.
My family from the hood. This not going to fall.
Go for that. So we're having all these disagreements about how the wedding should be. And he's like, well, you know, because we're on, you know, a limited budget, why don't we just have the reception in my aunt's backyard and they can cook? And I was like, oh, so now we're having a cookout for a wedding? Like, not feeling any of that. And I came home for the summer and I was living with him while I was home. And I don't know who said it first, do you know? But we were just like, we should just elope. You know, we should just, you know, we really want to be together. We want to start our lives together. And the marriage would mark that beginning, but it doesn't have to be this big thing that we're fighting over all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, how are we going to come to an agreement? Let's just go to the justice of the peace.
I think it was you. I think you said it.
Okay.
I think you said it.
Okay.
Because I know what my response was to that. Uh-huh. My response was, you got to live with this. I'll be fine, but you have to live with this because most weddings tend to be bride-centric anyway. Mm-hmm. She understood that, and I understood that. So it wasn't going to change very. I wasn't going to ever look back and say, "Man, I should have did." I would have never happened, but she may have because that's just, you know, the bride centricity of it.
I wasn't the type of woman. I'm still not the type of woman who gets excited over those kinds of trappings, you know, like, oh, I can imagine I'm going to have on this dress and I'm going to, you know, the flowers are going to be this way. And these are the people I already know. And da, 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 you know, like really thinking and planning for like it, you know, as a day to look forward to. So I was like, no, you know, the marriage is the important part to me. You know, I'll be fine without a ceremony. So
she went to the courthouse.
Yep. And filled out the
paperwork. Said we got to meet there on Friday.
Yeah, you got to wait a couple of days in Maryland. The law was you fill out the application for your license. You wait a couple of days before you can actually get the license and then for them to marry you.
So okay. I went to work and I left at 12.
Take a half day.
I said I got something to do this afternoon, guys. So
at this point, it was like a secret, you know, because we knew that the parents were looking forward to a ceremony and I didn't want to have the conflict of saying, you know, we're not going to have a ceremony. I know his parents. By this time, I knew them well enough to know that, you know, especially his dad, ceremony and tradition is like very important to him. Mm-hmm. And he would have tried to turn it into something. I remember
he would have
when you're right.
He would have. I mean,
when your brother got married, it's Justice of the Peace. Everybody went and, you know, we're all crowded into a small place, you know, taking pictures afterwards. So
he would have.
Yeah. So it was kind of a secret. We were just going to go do it. My sister, I'm the eldest of four girls. And the sister that was staying with me is like 14 years younger than me.
Oh, so wow.
She's like this little girl.
6 or 7 years old.
Yes. Oh, so we brought her because she was staying with us. And we invited one of my line sisters to come with us to be a witness and to kind of watch
the girl. She was there to watch the girl. She was there to watch the girl.
And we called her. He's like, I cannot do this. Once we got to the courthouse, he was like, I cannot do this without calling my dad. He has to know first before I say I do. And so we said, okay, let's take our moment and each call our parents. My mom's ecstatic. Like, oh my God, can't believe it. You won't be living in sin anymore. And his dad is like, wow. You're really doing that right now without me.
Right.
Oh, it was such a great call. He was right. He wasn't.
It took him a minute, but he got himself together. He got himself together. And now,
plus his dad and our mom got all the parents together and threw us a surprise reception a few months later. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I feel like I always hear they're like, oh, we'll just do the reception later. And it'll be like two decades later. And they're like, should we do this reception? We're already married.
And do you register for that? 2 decades later.
Okay. So that's why we did the vow renewal. But you guys got your questions. I want to make sure we get your questions in our order. But that's why we did the vow renewal.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I like that we kind of started in the middle of the story. Now
right.
We're in the background. Like,
yeah.
Now
right.
We're here.
Back up. Now we're back. We're back here. We're back here.
Yeah.
But that was at 15 years.
At 15
so
years.
It wasn't like, you know, a couple years later or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We did, you know, he surprised me again with, you know, he came home with a check and some bridal magazines like here. Happy anniversary.
Hey, plan your wedding. Plan your wedding.
Yeah. So we had a really nice, you know, ceremony that was at our choosing. You know, 15 years later, mm-hmm. our parents' desires don't matter nearly as much.
True.
You know, we had the ceremony that we wanted to have with, I think we still didn't do alcohol.
We still didn't do alcohol.
No.
We still didn't do alcohol.
Because we were kind of churchy ourselves by that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't do alcohol. But like you said, we had a live band. We had, you know, dancing. We had a dance floor, which is, you know, crucial. The food was really good. So
that's my favorite part. Yep.
Right. Exactly. The food was good. The cake was excellent.
The cake is excellent.
And it was a dance floor. Like, yes. What else do you need, really? I mean, I'm sure it was some people who were like, yeah, I could use a drink, but.
So what was your first year of marriage like?
It was tough. The first year was pretty tough. You know, we were adjusting to one another. And I think this is my opinion of it. I think that she was having a harder time adjusting to me than I was having adjusting to her, but we were adjusting to different things. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't say harder or lesser, but we were just adjusting to different things. She was adjusting to having to consider someone else in her decision making.
Yeah.
That was what she was adjusting to.
Yeah.
And I was adjusting to not being, I guess it's the same thing, not being in charge of my of how things are going to go. So I guess it was the same thing.
From different angles.
Slightly different angles. So, you know, I've softened over the years, not nearly as much as my son would like me to have softened, but I've softened over the years in that, you know, I can be strong in my opinion. I can be strong in what I think. And it comes off, especially when I was young and fiery, it comes off as being, you know, dominating of a situation. Mm-hmm. And it's not really, and it never really was my intent. My intent is just, I believe what I believe. And if you believe something different, that's fine. Believe something different. Stand on what you believe. But it came across as making her, my son has the same thing we go back and forth about, doubt what they think. And I'm telling them, don't doubt what you think. If you think what you think, then think that and be able to stand on it. But, you know, this is what I feel. And mm-hmm. over the years, I've softened that position. Yeah. And that was our struggle that very first year. You know?
Like he, to put it from my perspective, he, you know, was a great debater. Or, you know, wanted to just hash it out and here's the list of reasons and all the things and, you know, point for counterpoint and, you know, paragraph, subheading I through J. dude, are we going to have, we got to have this whole hash out, you know, yeah, that was it. You know, I'm much more introverted, process things internally. He's much more extroverted, processes everything externally. And so he was just coming at me with all his processing. And I was like, dude, I need, you know, time. But I wasn't able to say that or ask for that because, you know, I had not been in a situation where I needed to ask for it before. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things I think from us marrying so young is that we had a lot of, we had to basically grow up together. And, you know, so, and there was a lot of growing pains.
With that, because Janelle and I always talk about how people change, because you guys started out being married so young. And you guys have grown through that. How did you guys handle the different changes that came?
Some were rougher than others. Because, you know, you got to learn the person all over again. What you thought about them was true is seemingly suddenly not true. Especially, you know, for me, because I do process so much internally, you know, I wasn't always cluing him in at every stage. And so, you know, to him, it was like, just suddenly this is not true. Suddenly you don't want that. Suddenly you know, want to stand your ground and be so vocal about X, Y, Z. And, you know, suddenly you're asking me for things, you're articulating your needs in ways you weren't before. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you butt heads over that and you learn. I think we really had to, we got to a point where we knew we needed to have a hard conversation. It was like, let's just have it. But let's not have it where we're yelling and we're saying things, you know, making those always and never statements that don't, you know, really stand up to the evidence. But let's have a sit down and discuss. And, you know, it turns out there was this little cafeteria style spot in where we lived in North Carolina, where we, when something came up, we're like, okay, is it time to go to, K&W.
Yeah. You know, we're not going to make a scene. Because we're not going to make a scene. Right. I mean, we're too
proud, maybe.
Proud for that. And this is years and decades before things like World Star. No one's going to record us, but I'm not gonna fuss and fight with someone in a public restaurant. I was raised better than that.
Yeah.
So going to a safe space.
Right. Made it safe because it was public and we could just sit down and talk and really, you know, speak from the heart, listen from the heart. You know, that took practice to learn how to listen and not be preparing your argument the whole time or, you know, splicing and cutting up the other person's point, you know, while they're trying to express themselves. So, we had to learn all of that. So
those are the types of techniques, if the best word that I can use, okay, that we use, you know, knowing each other well enough to know that neither one of us was going to act out of pocket. That we could find, you know, I mean, not all relationships are like that. And I'm not knocking other people's relationship at all. Some people like that fire. I prefer not to have that fire. So it works out, you know, I guess there's some pluses and some minuses. I'll have to figure out what the pluses are, but there probably are. So this is what worked for us.
I think that's the first time I've heard that.
And that's, and that's saying something. Y'all on episode like 73.
Now I'm gonna steal that. I think you're right. Like, I'm too proud to be too loud in public in a fight. So, like, maybe that's where disagreements should be.
Right. And, exactly. And then it becomes a conversation of you're going to actually have to have a conversation. And
keep calm and, you know,
even if you got to take a moment, because she's pretty famous in between us for saying, I need a moment.
Let me ponder that and I'll get back to you on that one.
And it took me a long time to be able to say, OK, and I say, how could you not have an answer? We've been sitting here talking about this. How could you not have an answer? But, you know, that's experience and time to be able to say, all right. Go ahead and take some time. Right. But the key to her making that work is she got to circle back.
Right.
She can't just leave it out there, because if she leave it out there,
he going to come up with his own answers as to what I'm thinking and, you know, what's true. So I got to, you know, not take forever. You know, I can't take 2 weeks. You know, it's got to be, you know, within that week.
A couple days.
Yeah,
for sure.
And more for me, you know, it's just making sure that I'm coming across clear, that I'm saying what I mean, and not what my emotions want me to say. That I'm ready for the argue back. Because like I said, he loves the debate. He loves the exchange of thoughts and ideas happening.
She make it sound so bad. She make it sound so bad.
I'm trying to make it sound good.
No, because that's me. I'm a debater. Unless I'm losing, then I don't want to talk about it anymore. You're doing too much.
So what are other ways that you guys handle conflict?
So we need individual stress relievers. That's a huge part of our lives. As much as we enjoy one another, we also had to learn to enjoy our time apart.
Right.
And to be able to, you know, before my knees gave out, I would go to the gym and play basketball. I don't go no more because that's just, I retired. Y'all missed the press conference?
I hold a whole press conference
and everything. I'm done. So before those days.
Now he has DJing though.
I go to the gym and that's how I get out my energy. And it makes having conversations with her much better, because I don't have that same everything kind of built up. And for her, she work out. You know, she do whether it's Zumba or cross training or 4 mile walks or, you know, just any number of things that she can do that is hers and dedicated to her, which is a buzzword now, mental health. Not knocking it, but it is a huge word that the people are putting out.
That's where it's a thing.
It's a popular word now. It wasn't popular when we started doing these things.
The stigma is going away. Yes.
It wasn't a term that we ever used growing up.
Self-care, all those things. Yeah. Which we find are important. for us to be able to come together and be a working unit that can, you know, can make it through conflict and, you know, try to figure out, okay, what is the other person really trying to get out of this? So, you know, yes, we have our time to ourselves where we have the interests, you know, if I'm going to be hanging out with my girlfriends or going on girls trips or whatever the thing. And then when we come together to resolve something that we disagree about, it's really drilling down to what does the other person want out of this? Like, why is this so important to you? Trying to understand so that maybe there's some compromise, or in some cases there's some sacrifice where one of us says, you know what? Okay. You know, I don't agree. I would think we should do it differently, or, you know, I'll just give up what I'm asking for. And that does happen sometimes. And, you know, the goal is that in the end, the other person will recognize, okay, they sacrificed for me, so I'll be ready to sacrifice for them later on. Or, you know, you never know when something really good is going to come out of it. You figure out that the other person was right, you know, or that there wasn't just one way to do it. There was always two or three or five ways to do it, and we're just picking one that either is most important to one of us or that we see is going to get us to this, you know, this goal that we have. What is our shared goal? We want the baby to go to sleep. So
speaking of the baby going to sleep, what was the transition from husband and wife to parents like?
Night and day. Night and day.
Culture shock.
You know, you go to the hospital, two people, you come out, three people, and they just wave you goodbye. There's no manual or book. They just hand this child to you and say, you know, have a good life, you know, and that's kind of the end of it.
You're great parents.
You get home and you just look, they're looking at you, you're looking at them, and you just have no real idea what the next thing's to do. You know, I actually have huge admiration for countries where they have, you know, huge extended families that kind of live and dwell together that are able to work together for those kinds of goals and think those things. But, you know, that's not very American. American, they give you they say, you got a car seat? Okay. Right. And they put the baby in the car seat and they snap it in and say, and they wave to you and you're good to go.
Start you off.
Just a few. I mean, just a few, two or three.
Here's the nurse's number, you know, call us if you have questions. But we had parents close by. And they did, you know, participate and help, you know, give us some relief. Because the biggest thing for us, honestly, is the sleeping. That's why I use that as an example, because we're like night owls who love to sleep in. And this chick was getting up at the break of dawn or before.
And it was like, and it hasn't stopped.
We're not ready.
It hasn't stopped. So, you know, you heard in the beginning that we said she has an autism diagnosis. So she's 22 and she still gets up early. And even now.
And comes to wake us up.
I mean, she knock on the door like the police.
Yes.
I mean,
like the police, not the police, the police. I was banging on that door like everybody up and out right now. So yeah, it was a big, you know, just, and you know, I have said this multiple times. We are typically opposite in the way we want to approach something, and parenting was no different. You know, the cry it out versus not cry it out. I don't know, whatever it was, that it was the next stage to do X, Y, Z. It was like, he thought that we should do it one way and I thought we should do it another way. So it was just more opportunity for us to practice our conflict resolution skills. But this time there was no KNW for us to go to. We got to bring her with us and all of that. So yeah, it was wild.
And
it's wild.
Yeah, I was just you can't say it was. It is. You know, we still it's
wild.
It's a little bit different now because of course they're older. So mm-hmm. But you know, we still yeah. disagree, not nearly as much as no. we used to. And there, my son is another word to take, neurotypical. These are all these buzzwords that I'm learning over the last so many years. Buzzwords. Okay. So, but he's, you know, he doesn't have any developmental issues. So he's good to go. And now we're figuring out.
It was like raising completely two different.
Two only children.
Very little of what we quote unquote learned or what we had decided or determined was the best way to raise her was all that useful in raising him. Now we got whole new challenges. You know, she was very delayed in her development. So we had
a lot. Can y'all hear that knocking?
Knocking now.
Can y'all hear the knock? Because that's her right there. Knocking on the door right there. It's almost like we called her name. That's her right there.
She made her appear.
The police have appeared. They have arrived. Because she likes bacon. Bacon is one of her favorite
foods. Oh, okay.
But she don't realize that once you cook it, you don't have to warm it up in the microwave for 2 minutes. This is our life. This is my life. This is our life. Bacon?
No, cassava leaves.
Cassava leaves. Okay.
Huh. I don't think I've ever had that.
So.
Yeah, she loves African food.
So part of her.
That too.
Part of her growing up has been through the autism waiver that provides, and you can put this on if you want to put this on, because maybe this will help somebody else. Mm-hmm. Her growing up has been through the autism waiver. So she has a lot of aides that work with her and a lot of places where she goes. It just so happens that in our community, I would say 85% of those people are African.
Service providers are from some part of Africa.
Whether it's
in this area.
Cameroon, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Nigeria. So
she's always, she's getting all the flavors.
So she's getting all of these foods.
They love to cook for her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yeah.
And because she's getting all these foods, she comes home and we don't cook any of those things. So right. Now we know where the African restaurants are around here. And one of the things that she likes is potato leaves and cassava leaves.
Okay.
This is kind of like greens.
More yeah. More like just spinach.
Cooked yeah. down, mm-hmm. cooked down a lot and lots of flavors and meat mixed in and things like that. So she loves it. And the person who is her direct support staff right now, mm-hmm. Cooks a huge pot for her and we just portion it up and freeze it. And I think she was trying to thaw out one of the frozen containers of cassava leaves. And she went too far. Like the container had a hole in it and everything.
Oh, no.
So she probably just kept going with the same 2 minutes over and over. But
everything is 2 minutes.
Yes.
Everything is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Even though they got the sign to say 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I'm sorry. We kind of got off on a tangent.
No worries.
It's life. Life happens. And that's what we kind of like.
I think I wrote that in the email I sent you guys. Life gets to life.
Exactly.
It really will.
Life lives.
Yes.
So I read through you guys' book and I did want to mention this. There was a moment where you said sacrifice is greater than compromise.
Yes.
And I kind of want to talk about that because anybody that has listened to the podcast will always know that I'm the one when it comes to talking about compromise. I'm always the one that's shouting, everybody loses. Like, that's just my thing. If you're compromising, we're both losing. Like, can you guys talk about the compromise and sacrifice?
So sure. So so the way this book is written, each of us wrote a chapter.
Okay.
So we had this, you know, this list of topics that we came up with and kind of described things that we had learned in our 25 years. And then we chose which topics we were going to write about. And if you were the person who submitted that topic, then you wrote that chapter. Mm-hmm. And the other person didn't We read it, but we didn't.
And may edit it for grammar.
But we didn't modify the,
but the substance remains the same.
So this is my chapter. And because I've said this for years, which is sacrifice is greater than compromise. And it's basically in a compromise, like Mo said, both sides give a little and both sides take a little. Mm-hmm. Neither person necessarily walks away with the full measure of what they wanted. And that's the compromise. But in marriage, it's great if you can do those things and still survive, but there absolutely come situations where there's nothing that you can do. You're going to have to let this person walk that road, and you're going to have to sacrifice what you wanted to allow them to walk that road or to allow them to pursue that dream. And there may be a reward on the other side. There may not be a reward on the other side. And that is the real sacrifice, because in the compromise, you know immediately what you're going to get out of this deal. And when you're sacrificing, you have no idea what the outcomes are going to be on the other side. So, you know, one of the ones we talk about was when she mentioned that she was living in North Carolina when we got married. You know, I packed up my whole life and moved to North Carolina. And people will say that was a sacrifice. And it was, because I had no idea how that was going to turn out. I just, this is where she was. I want to be here. So if I can stand firm and say, I have a house, I own, I live here. Why don't you transfer schools and you know, or why don't we do this long distance relationship? That way you can still go to school and I can still be here. All these are compromises. Mm-hmm. I'm going to come there. It was never a question. I never said to her one time to consider any of those other things. This is more important than anything that I have going on. I'll come to you. And, you know, I don't say that to beat my chest. I just say it to use it as an example of things that you would have to do in marriages. It happens all the time. You know, maybe it's, I want another baby. I don't want another baby. Are you willing to?
There's not really a compromise on that.
There's no half baby.
Baby or just a part-time baby. So
once you're in, you're in. And from the person doing the compromising, the important aspect is not to hold the person to the fire for the outcomes of your sacrifice. If it don't work out well, you can't say, I can't believe I sacrificed all this for you. You can't.
Right.
You made the decision to do this, so you got to be okay with the consequences. It
becomes our decision.
It becomes our decision. From the person who receives the sacrifice, you got to recognize that this person did give up some stuff for you. And you got to be willing to acknowledge it and say, hey, you know, I know you did this. And I really appreciate it. Just if you just help me get through this period, we'll be good to go. You know, just let them know. Or
extending grace to them when it's hard, because no, they didn't want to do this thing. And then you get all in your feelings. Like, why aren't you extremely ecstatically happy about something that you didn't want to do?
My mom always says, if you want them to take out the trash and be happy about taking out the trash, that might be asking a bit too much. They're willing to take it out and they're taking it out. Be okay with that.
So they're not dancing and skipping and laughing out the door with the trash or you know, whatever the thing.
Whatever
the
thing. So, yes, that's. And several people have talked about that chapter. I didn't know that it was going to get the appeal that it is.
But I think it does become the difference between relationships that go a distance, go, you know, that those are the turning points when it's time to sacrifice and you're unwilling. Either and I think in order to even for that to be a successful thing to happen, you know, there has to be such a level of trust between the two of you that, you know, sometimes isn't there, you know, so I can't even ask you to sacrifice for me because, you know, I've not come up with my end of the bargain in so many other things or even this one thing over and over again. So how can I trust you that if I make this sacrifice on the other side, you know, we're going to benefit together, or you won't be the only one that benefits from this, that you are going to recognize the sacrifice. And so, you know, that having that trust that we both really do have the relationship's best interest in heart and each other's best interest at heart. Like, you know, I'm not doing this to be completely selfish. I do want something good for both of us to come out of this. And if we can trust that that is the case, then it makes sacrificing easier, an easier pill to swallow.
Yeah, when I read through that chapter, I was just like, I have to ask about this.
Okay, it's fine.
It's just right up my alley. Just So another thing is, I know you had previously mentioned that Yolanda, you grew up, was it?
Pentecostal. What type of
Pentecostal? Uh-huh. So does spirituality play a role in your marriage? Or did it play a role in your marriage?
It's played a changing role throughout our marriage. In the beginning, the first role it played was me saying, you know, when he started talking about forever, I was like, well, wait, you know, we are unequally yoked. I don't want to see us be in a marriage where we're not both honoring God with our lives and putting his will and, you know, at the center of it. You know, just from the way I grew up, you know, I wasn't winning any Christian prizes at that point, but I knew that was important, you know, for a decision for life, a lifelong decision that I wanted a marriage to last. And I had seen that even with, you know, Christ at the center, marriages were falling apart. So how are we going to do this? What's going to be our shared foundation of values? And so I said, you're going to have to start looking into, you know, living the way that I believe we should live. And he started doing his research, you know, going to churches and, you know, reading his Bible, the things I'm not going to speak for you for all the things that you did to kind of see what is this woman talking about. But he did. And so we got together, we were kind of churchy a little bit. Like I said, we didn't drink, but, you know, not as churchy as I had grown up. Mm-hmm. You know, we kind of made some decisions not to live a really legalistic lifestyle. But, you know, and then it evolved again when we had our daughter.
Yeah. Circumstances of life kind of
change your outlook on what is the purpose of faith in your life or that kind of thing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right. Go ahead and finish.
I've said enough.
I was
say
going
what
to
you want to say.
I was just going to say it's, you know, the life be lifing thing that we just talked about a little while ago is the same thing. You know, it just, our lives have not become conducive to really be able to have the type of church going relationship, things that even I would like. I would like to go more often. I would like to be more participatory and in activities and things like that. But it's become exceedingly difficult. You know, we did for years trying it, you know, one of us sit in the car with her while the other person goes into the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. One person stay home, or one person goes to the early service by themselves, and the other person go to the afternoon service by themselves. And those types of things have just, you know, made it very difficult. So now the one of the best parts of COVID, if there are best parts, is that they started doing so much virtual church. So now we can sit down and we can go to virtual church, and she goes down in with my mom. I'm usually doing something else. It's just, that's truthful. I'm just doing something else, but Every now and then I'll go down there and get a little bit of Andy Stanley or whoever they watching at that time.
Keith Battle
from Zion, you know, whoever they watching. I'll go down and get a little bit of that. But it has evolved, and I think it will evolve even again once she goes to whatever is going to be the next level for her. Like if she starts engaging in some type of residential facility and where we have more time, I would love to go back to churches. But you know, you just gotta, doesn't mean that we don't believe.
Right.
Doesn't mean any of those types of things. Right. It just means our lives don't make it easy for us to do.
Around her pretty much. And so it affects a lot of decisions of, you know, traveling, restaurants, all these things, you know, having friends over, going to visit people. Yeah.
She don't go to nobody's house.
Yeah.
She don't go in anybody's house.
Even her grandparents.
Even her.
Well, my mom.
She won't go in her mother's house. Just won't go in the house. Just sit in the car.
Yeah.
And we park in the backyard and wind the windows down and we just stand out in the backyard because she won't go in the house.
Right. So that does impact a lot. Definitely. Faith included.
It's just things that people typically don't consider. And these are additional things that we consider.
Yeah.
So when you talk about, you know, things you want to talk about in marriage is you are unprepared. You think you're prepared for everything that could happen and you're totally unprepared for things that happen. You know, no one could have told me 25 years ago that you're going to have a special needs daughter and these are the things that you're going to have to do. You know, we had plans for how we wanted our life to move and where we're going to live and how we were going to travel and all these things. And, you know, I was actually going to write out some responses to the questions that you sent. And one of the things I put was, you know, we plan, God laughs, adjust our plan. We adjusted his plan. He laughs some more, adjusted again. And it just keeps going on and on and on. Just every time we adjust, he said, you really thought you was adjusting, but you were. And he makes some changes again and it just keeps on going. So.
So. What is the best thing about marriage?
The best thing about marriage, I would say, is having that person to share with that's there when it's good, there when it's bad. They know you inside and out and accept and love you and are still excited to be with you.
I mean, that's a great answer. That's a perfect answer. I mean, I would agree with her. It's the companionship.
Yeah.
And I know people say, I don't have to be married to get the companionship.
You don't.
But for us, it's the permanency of it.
Yeah.
You know, there is some level of I'm really here to be here. I'm not knocking common law marriage. I'm not knocking people who live together for, you know, 30 years. But I know people who have lived together and done all those things and they get married and very shortly after they get married, things don't work out for them. So that tells me that there's a difference between those things and this thing. It's not, you know, no judgment, just there's a difference. And the difference is, you know, you feel a pressure to stay as opposed to I can go at any time. There's never been a question that I've said I can go at any time. This thing is so intertwined and intertangled. You know, it would take I can't even say what it would take to unwind us from one another, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically. It just, you know, so many layers, especially after 27 years. It's just, so there's a difference. And so that companionship and, you know, knowing I can pick up the phone at 1 o'clock in the morning when I'm coming home or 2 o'clock when I'm coming home from that DJ gig and she will answer that phone and be on the other end and not be fussing and cussing and, you know, will talk me through home, coming home, you know, the fact that she can miss the train stop and call me and say, I missed my train. I need you to come pick me up.
Way over here.
I need you to come all to the other side of town and pick me up. And you just come and, you know, there's some assurity and some confidence and some good feeling about those things.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
What would your advice be for a long-lasting marriage?
I would say, one, marry someone you like. Marry someone that you love to kick it with. Y'all not doing anything. Sitting on the couch, surfing through, you know, the Netflix options or whatever, and that's a good time for you. Like, because you're going to need that when the lovey-dovey feelings are not there. They're gonna wax and wane as life's, and you want to be with somebody that you like and, you know, enjoy being with. That's one key.
Really? That's a good key. That's a real good one. I would tell a person, I've actually said this. When you think of the person who you're going to spend the rest of your life with, think of the trait that you can't stand. Because regardless of any relationship that you're in, there's things about that person that you don't like, that you kind of allow those things to kind of go unchecked in your relationship. You just let them go unchecked. Imagine that thing
times a thousand.
Yep. And that is what it will be when you get married.
Yes.
And you have to decide. And I don't say, you know, you have to decide, can I live with this? If they never change this behavior trait. And if I can't live with that, then that's probably a person you shouldn't marry. Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. If you're going into it thinking, I'm going to work on them and we're going to work on this and this is going to get better, then you don't marry them. Don't marry them until it's better, because it's really, there's no guarantee. Like you were talking about, you're going to change as a person. Yes. Okay. But not always in the way that I want you to change.
I don't think anybody's been that honest. And they're like, they're going to change. It's not always how you like it.
It's not always how you like it. It's not always how you like it.
It's not always how you expect or what you, you know, that whole idea of marrying potential and he's about to be and he's going to be and he's not. Mm-mm. I would say, just wait, let him be that.
It's great for movies.
Right.
It's great. It's much tougher in real life. And I'm sure that there are a few stories out there where someone married a person. I mean, and potential it blossomed and then everybody benefited from it. I'm sure that's great. Savannah James, where are you now? You know, that's great stuff. But that's not everybody.
No, and a lot of times those marriages end up dissolving once one of them gets, you know, better or into a better station, then they're looking at you like, I need to upgrade everything.
So that's what I would tell a person who was getting married. The trait that you can't stand is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse.
Marriage, imagine it not getting better.
Right. Marriage only amplifies the negative things that you feel. It magnifies the positive things as well. But it magnifies nonetheless. And if you can't take it, if you can't come to terms with it beforehand, it's going to be very difficult to come to terms with it during.
Huh. This is great advice.
I love that so much. But Clarence and Yolanda, first of all, we want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your guys' schedule of life-lifing to come on our podcast. But before we let you guys go, we have one last question that we ask all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Even if you do it young like we did.
Yeah. If you have to grow through it and go through the growing pains.
Yes. I wouldn't wish. It's tough being single out there. The world is tough enough when you're single. It's, it's nice to have somebody to come home and give you some refuge.
Yes.
It's very nice to have someone to give you some refuge.
It's tough out there.
All righty. And there you have it. It is a yes from Clarence and Yolanda. Would you guys like to plug your, I know you guys podcast or the DJ, and then your book?
So sure. We wrote a book called The Rhythm of Love, 25 Things That 25 Years of Marriage Taught Us. It basically stemmed out of a stream that we did for our 25th wedding anniversary when everybody was locked in the house. So, and we just detail and lay out some things that we've learned. Some of the things are more serious and more pointed. Some of the things are just anecdotal things that we, that you learn.
Just go through.
You go through and you learn and you didn't know that this was true. So we've gotten great reviews on it.
Yeah, it's a fun book. It's not all, you know, dead serious. It's a little bit of fun thrown in there. We like to laugh. So we made sure that there was some hilarity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you can pick it up at our website, CYLentertainment.com.
C for Clarence, Y for Yolanda, L for Lewis, entertainment.com.
Yes, you can pick up a book. And we're running out of signed copies, so you better get your book soon, because eventually we're going to stop signing these books.
And Janelle, it's also ours is signed.
Yours is signed. Yours is signed.
Look at us. Yeah. One of the few.
It's also available in e-book format as well as audiobook.
Yes.
So if that's your thing.
Yes. You can get it on Amazon. Because you can get it on Amazon. You can get it
on Amazon as well. For as far as the stream, every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 9 to 11, we are on twitch.tv live. He is DJ C Sharp and I am Yo-Yo Bay Bay. And he plays slow jams, classic R&B, some deep cuts as well. And we just talk about our lives, our relationship, you know, whatever nonsense is coming up on the interwebs, and you know, just kick it with our Twitch fan there. So we welcome you, everyone, to
come on through,
sign in, and
come on through. It's free. All you gotta do is come hang out.
Yeah.
You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Marriage Worth It. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?